Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, welcome everybody to this Party Friday. It's Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, which features the truth straight up.
There we go.
Brought to you by
Mountain West Wellness Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, happytrees.co. It's that time of year. And Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Coming up at 3:30, we're going to have Scott Powell on. We've had him on before. He's a great guest, author of Rediscovering America, talking about a new column he has on saying, yeah, look, it's not a conspiracy theory anymore. The government's actively trying to destroy the Constitution.
And your family and your children.
But wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about the whole Tucker Carlson thing going on. And as always, you guys have comments. Feel free to tap. You either can type them and we'll read them. You want to unmute yourself, you can join us if you're on Zoom, or if you want to call in, 888-627-6008.
Well, Julia, you've been in media your whole adult life. I've been in media maybe the last quarter century. And for me, the tectonic plates are really beginning to shift. I think the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month is going to be incredibly impactful, both on what the media is and how we get our information, as well as the Ukraine war with the counteroffensive going. So we may be in World War III by then, but who knows?
Well, I think that's a perfect way to put it. This Tucker Carlson thing is bigger than Tucker Carlson. I think you're right. It is plates, massive plates are shifting. I think the, on a couple levels, I thought Breitbart today had the best explanation, I think, of what is probably going on. And they had talked to numerous people, it sounds like, at Fox. And the bottom line, it comes down, I think, to this. I don't think there's any one single event. The bottom line is Tucker Carlson was an independent thinker, a disruptor, wasn't coloring inside the lines, and the Murdochs are taking control back. They're clearly establishment. They have been allowing the hosts apparently to kind of do their own thing.
And I own a newspaper, so I know, you allow people to, within certain parameters do their own thing, but at some point you can't let them do their own thing or you're really not in charge anymore. And unfortunately for the Murdochs, where Tucker was going is where most of their audience wants to go.
Well, I think here's the thing, because if you're the establishment, remember how they kind of tried to quash it and successfully someone did the Tea Party movement, right?
They co-opted it. They didn't squash it. They co-opted it. Americans for Prosperity and all that gave them all the money and turned them into,
establishment. Turned them into
Well, they didn't really, but they always tried to get volunteers and stuff for Americans for a Prosperity, but what they wanted, which is open borders and destroy the middle class, and prosperity for whom? Well, the prosperity for themselves.
It's for and so that's what it's all about. The Murdochs are clearly establishment, right? Rhinos, call them whatever you want. They're establishment. Tucker Carlson, like Donald Trump, was a disruptor. I think he was, if you're the establishment, the biggest thing you want, and I'm going to go to my movie theories here again, but you want people to stay plugged into the matrix, right? And that way you just feed them the pablum. And that's, I think, what Tucker was alluding to.
Give them the illusion of a choice.
Right, illusion of a choice, but they don't really have
one. You can have Jeb Bush or you can have Hillary Clinton. Yeah.
Right. And then in the meantime, though, every night, Tucker Carlson was red-pilling millions of Americans.
And red-pilling himself at the same time.
Exactly.
He fully acknowledged. He said, I'd never thought this,
before.
Before, yeah.
And now he acknowledged it, and that's why he was so popular. And the Murdochs were like, okay, this is our media empire. And I think in doing so, they send a very clear message to all the other hosts. You got to wonder what's going on with Miranda Devine at the New York Post. Would they let her do the Hunter Biden laptop story? No, you never know, right? But they're clearly saying, you stay within a lane, and we're going to tell you what the lane is. And if you get out of that lane, we will get rid of you. We don't care if you're the number one host.
And what's nice about Fox is they don't just get rid of you, they try to destroy you. Now, we had the same thing at Salem. I mean, you know, one day they call us in and they said, well, we got, you know, Media Matters is now after you and therefore you're fired. And we're posting up on our website that, you know, we immediately took you down. They didn't even know about it for 2 or 3 days, but it was, and they tried to destroy our newspaper. I'm not sure so intentionally.
Not Salem did, but
well, by putting that up the board.
Yes.
Not that I think they cared that much, but had, you know, we lost a third of our advertisers.
Well,
and so, you know, they didn't just let us go. You know, they had a virtue signal on their website, which was incredibly destructive.
Well, and Fox hasn't been doing so much virtue signal, keeping quiet. But here's
No. You don't think those stories in the Wall Street Journal and Vanity, they even identify the woman, Irene, and I forget her last name, who is literally the snake of Fox and head of the communication department, where she plants stories against you. And in fact, and they identified that Fox had a Oppo research file on Tucker. And I'm sure they had an Oppo research file on everybody.
But here's what I think is going on, though. It's going to be, it's not working. It's backfiring. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen the numbers, but you know, Tucker Carlson's last night, 2.65 million people tuned in. On Monday, the first night it happened, 2.5 million turned in. Tuesday, by now, everybody knew what was going on. 1.7 million tuned in. And Wednesday, 1.3 million.
We haven't seen the third.
Yeah. I mean, they were down 56%. Brian Kilmeade, who replaced him, lost for the first time in years to MSNBC. And then in the key demographics, the 25 to 54, Fox News without Tucker Carlson lost both to MSNBC and CNN. Meanwhile, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, Newsmax is up. And then Tucker Carlson's the video.
Way up.
Five times.
Not just up.
Five times up. And the video that Tucker Carlson posted has been, I think the last I saw, 70 million views.
Yeah, it's heading for 100 million.
He had more views than all of the cable TV news put together. And that's, I think, where the tectonic shift is occurring. Fox, I think, arrogantly assumed that by deplatforming Tucker Carlson, they could silence him at least quite a bit. And I think that clearly isn't happening. Another thing... there we go, Leo. That brings up a good question. Why hasn't MyPillow sponsored the Chuck and Julie show yet? Yes, please do. You call Mike Lindell. I hear you guys are like this and tell him sponsor our show.
Well, just in relation to that, one of our sponsors, which is a Western...
Mountain West Wellness,
which is an acupuncture and Eastern medicine, where I've been using for my back, but my knee is killing me. So I went in there yesterday and had that worked on. Boomo! It feels great today. The best in 6 months. I mean, they're unbelievable. They are unbelievable. Jack Schaefer. I mean, if you have any aches or pains, let me tell you. You know, you go,
right. Yeah. We digress.
No, we don't. No, he's talking about a sponsorship. So that's the way we can do for you, Mike.
And here's the thing about Tucker, because I want to talk a little bit about this, too, because there's a lot of speculation about what's going to happen. And we'll play a thing with Megyn Kelly later, here, where she explains he hasn't actually been fired. He's still under contract and they've got to negotiate what they do. He probably has a no compete clause.
They always do.
But here's the thing with no compete clauses. It's kind of iffy if they're the ones who cancel you, because I suspect his contract also had a clause that says he had to be on the air somewhere. Even I, when I was in TV for 30 years as just a local TV news reporter, there was a clause in my contract that said they couldn't like take me off of being a reporter and make me be a janitor. And I mean, that would have been a breach of contract. So I'm sure Tucker Carlson had similar language. What's interesting, and we're going to play some of the Twitter stuff, because I think there were two things going on there. It's pretty, when we were at KNUS, for instance, we could not do our own, like tape our radio show and then do our own Chuck and Julie, put that on a Chuck and Julie YouTube show without their permission. Right. It was their product. There are usually in contracts clauses about what you can and can't do on other things, but apparently not on Twitter. And because Tucker Carlson went on Twitter, and I'm sure there are negotiations now trying to figure out the exit. He would not have gone on Twitter if his lawyer didn't tell him, you know, no, that's not covered in that. And I think that was in part to send a message to his people. And I also think in part it was sort of a shot across the bow of Fox, too, saying, sure, I can do this if you want. And I'm sure you guys saw it. But if you didn't, I just think it was so great. It made me, like I told Tucker, I'm like, I feel like happy that he's doing this, because I was afraid he was going to disappear forever. Who knew what was going to happen? You know, you just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But I think his video, 2 minute long video on Twitter, was amazing. And if we could please play Tucker number one.
So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state.
That's why Tucker Carlson's gone, right? I mean, the Murdoch family is like, you're not coloring inside the lines, Tucker.
No, we're not going to have a debate whether we should be at war in Ukraine.
Right.
We're not going to have a debate
on open borders.
On open borders. We're not going to have a debate on COVID policies. There's no debate on COVID
There's
policies.
Only what we, your masters, say. And all of you little people, plug yourself back into the matrix and you will be happy.
You have your own choices, you know, which you like licorice or not. I mean, like that ad says, that's a great debate of our time.
That's right. But I think that the hopeful thing is, this being party fried, if you want to be a little bit hopeful, I think what the number of views that this video has received shows reason why there's hope, because I think people are unplugged from the matrix. People have been red-pilled. The curtain has been pulled aside. And once that happens, no matter how much people like the Murdochs or AOC or Chuck Schumer jump up and down and scream and say, put that curtain back, there's nothing behind here, people are like, wait, no, I just saw that. There is something behind there. If we could please play the Tucker number two soundbite.
When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
That's just great, right? That's just great. And the fact that, I mean, pushing 100 million views. Here's the thing. There are millions of people. And granted, a lot of that is just curiosity and things like that. But there are millions of people now, far more than ever saw Tucker Carlson on his news show, who have seen that little 2 minute clip in which probably millions of those millions of people said, I agree with that. You know, that's what I've been thinking too, right? So Fox's attempt, I think, to silence him, and I'm not sure if whether they wanted to silence him or they just wanted to get him out of the way. I don't know, because we could
silence him and hopefully get him out of the way.
But
at least out of their hair. That was step one, and step two is being negotiated.
It's being negotiated right now. But this is, I'm going to play another soundbite, because I was wondering about this too, when they're talking about the negotiation, and it's like, why isn't he talking? And again, knowing what I know from having been in that world, probably both sides have, particularly somebody with Tucker Carlson's stature, right? He's got plenty of stuff in there that protects him.
Well, it depends on when he signed it. You know, the first time going on air, I can remember our contract. I mean,
he's renegotiated since then. Renegotiated. But Megyn Kelly said something that I think is also probably true. If we could please play the, and Megyn Kelly, having been at Fox, knows a thing or two about things there.
NBC.
And yeah, if we could please play the Megyn Kelly soundbite.
And have a lot of thoughts about it. I want to, I think, break some news for you. Tucker Carlson hasn't actually been fired. He's still an employee of the Fox News Channel. What happened was Suzanne Scott called him. She's the CEO on Monday morning and said he was not going to be allowed to do any more shows and that he had been kicked out of his company email. And now they're going to have to negotiate an exit. Some reporting to me suggests that she said it's going to be an amicable parting, right? isn't it? completely catching Tucker off guard. But Tucker's not fired. That's my information, that he still needs to negotiate the exit, and that right now he's not free to launch a podcast or a digital show or negotiate with other employers at all because he's still under contract. They pulled his show off the air. They also fired his executive producer, Justin Wells. And though he tried to find out why, they wouldn't tell him. They refused to tell him why. I mean, to me, that's just so disheartening. He's been at the company for years. He'd been in the prime time for 7 years and saw Fox News through one of the most difficult times in its history. The immediate era post Roger Ailes, where they didn't know left from right. They didn't know up from down. They really didn't have strong management leading the company. And they had lost two of their biggest stars, Bill O'Reilly and me, at least at that time. So Tucker takes over. It's a huge order, you know, that he was given, and he did it. He smashed the ball out of the park, and he took a lot of risks, and he was heterodox. He pushed against the orthodoxy on so many different things. And typically Fox News liked that. So why? Why now? What was it that led them to treat their number one star with such disdain?
That is the question. And again, I think that, you know, that as Breitbart said, I think we know I believe we know the answer. And I think Tucker gave us the answer. He was not going to be part of telling the lies. The Murdochs have decided, and the establishment people have decided, the uniparties decided that there are too many people taking the red pill and we got to plug them back into the matrix. And if that means at Fox, we've got to take like what, almost $1 billion hit stockwise, and we take $1 billion hit stockwise. And I think, though, they are sadly mistaken. Again, the number of views that Twitter got shows that there are alternate media sources out there. Obviously, you know, like I said, I mean, you're the lawyer, but they probably are in breach of contract. So he has a little bit of leverage there. Some people have said, oh, they want to sideline him for 2 years to keep him out of the 2024. You can't. Lawyers or judges could do anything. Yeah. But I think that's pretty unlikely. Who knows what he's going to do? But it's clear there are alternate media sources, and that's the tectonic shift, right? A few years ago, Tucker Carlson would have been screwed if they kicked him off. Now, a day and a half later, he can go on Twitter and beat the entire cable news industry, right? Yeah. And I mean, that's significant. And now let's talk about Newsmax, which has gone up incredibly.
Well, so I watched Newsmax for the first time after the 2020 election and was kind of disgusted with Fox. And I was not impressed, you know, and I went back to Fox, in large part because of Tucker, almost solely because of Tucker. Yeah. But so this time I went, you know, I tried to get OAN. We don't get OAN. and so I went, okay, I'll go to Newsmax. It was great. Yeah. Holy crap. Guys, they decided not to let this chance just whiz them by.
Read some of the comments. You know, Barney says one of the turd offsprings of Murdoch said Tucker is not bigger than Fox. I think he is. And he said, who knew the bow tie wearing geek on Meet the Press would be where he is now?
I think it's not Meet the Press, but
and Sanders says, so if he quits, more than likely he doesn't get back pay. Possibly correct. What they're going to have to do, Sandra, on that is they'll negotiate that. I think it's going to come down to how much money is Tucker Carlson willing to give up to be able to move on immediately, and how much is Fox willing to pay to stop that? I do think the Twitter thing was, to a certain extent, as I said, a shot across the bow of Fox and saying, hey, I'm a little bit in the driver's seat here. You guys, because you can't stop me from being on Twitter. There is, I suspect, nothing preventing Tucker Carlson from launching a Twitter Spaces live conversation every night at 6 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. He could probably launch a Facebook live stream, although they would cancel it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Rumble. I don't know if there's some kind of provision in his contract preventing him from having his musings on Rumble, right?
Right.
I imagine the biggest
Crossfire was on. He was on Crossfire.
I imagine the biggest thing stopping Tucker Carlson from doing any of those things right now is he's trying to figure out exactly what does he want to do and how. I mean, Newsmax, OAN have said, we'll do it. But OAN, here's the thing in TV, right? Everybody's been watching Fox, so they're not watching Newsmax. So you don't even know what Newsmax is doing. Fox pisses you off, just like Budweiser, right? Budweiser is still down, but the sales of the other beers are up. So people who before were never drinking Coors Light are mad at Bud Light. So they try a Coors Light.
And all of a sudden you look at Bud Light, you're right. It does taste like piss. It's awful.
And I'm going to drink Coors Light. And now some will go back. The same with Fox. Some will probably go back. But you've got a ton of people who only watch Fox because of Tucker. So now they're going to go someplace else. And like you said, you watch Newsmax and you're like, because Chip was being depressed. He's like, I'm going to be forced to watch Sean Hannity on nights when there's not sports on because there's nothing else to watch.
No, I never said that.
They have plenty of ideas. We can't watch my movies. But anyway.
Picard.
I like Picard. But anyway, Chuck watching, he goes, this is great.
And not only was he great, but Greg Kelly following it was great. And the other guys were great. And they just hammered. They hammered, said, we're not afraid to tell you about January 6th. We're not afraid to tell you about what happened in the election. I mean, we're not afraid.
No.
We're being sued by Dominion, but big deal.
And here's from some comments, and then we'll get to Eric Bowling. I'm from Charlene. Exactly, Julie. There was an opening in The Matrix. Then Leo says, Barney needs to be Tucker's man on the street interviewer for his new podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlene says he should get rights to all his show. No, that's immediately you don't. I mean, I know there have been some people saying Tucker should release the January 6th videotapes. Those are not his videotapes. That's Fox's videotapes.
Well, they're really not Fox's.
Whatever they shot. When you quit, that's another thing that's clear in the contract.
But he could go to McCartney. He said, great, now give him to get me personally. Yeah,
exactly. But he won't get that. They can do whatever they want with the shows. It is interesting. Fox Nation stuff with him is still up there. So. So Tucker never released the tapes. Tucker only released, remember, and I think they were pressuring him then.
Yes,
he released some of them, but they didn't, he never actually had the tapes. McCarthy has never released the tapes yet, in spite of saying that he would.
Let's go to Sherry in Lakewood.
Hey, Sherry.
Hey, just a couple things. One of the things is, apparently, not only does BlackRock own, 50-some% of Dominion, but they're a pretty big owner of Fox, 40-some percent.
Right.
So
right.
I guess, when they're suing Fox, BlackRock is suing BlackRock, and then they get to fire Tucker for the – I mean, it's so connected and so crooked. And then Tucker was saying something about the vaccines. And the government.
Right. Big Pharma, yes.
Well, Pfizer is one of Fox's sponsors. So they don't really care if they lose money because they'll just get Pfizer to give them more money. So, but the positive thing on your Happy Friday Day is I think that as people, even Tucker, as people get ready for the truth and hear the truth, and I think that's what happened with Tucker. He started hearing the truth and started coming out with it.
Right.
And I think that eventually, you can do your stupid Peyronie disease and your Pfizer crap. And people just aren't going to listen anymore. They're tired of it. They don't want to hear it. And so take your money because basically you're taking the taxpayer money, forcing them to spend it for your stupid Pfizer shots. At some point, really what needs to happen is we need to quit giving money to the government to be manipulated for all this.
Oh, I know. And, we're going to talk to Scott Powell about, the government's trying to destroy the Constitution, but he's got some ideas on, a call to action. But you're absolutely right, Sherry. I think that there is a shift. I think that Fox underestimated the power of the alternative media sources. They're going to try to crush Tucker, but there are too many places right now. I mean, and you got Donald Trump and Truth Social tied in with Rumble, so they're not going to cave in, right? YouTube, of course, is a non-starter. They would never let his show go on. But let me let you go, Sherry, because I want to play this Eric Bowling thing from Newsmax, because I think this is, they are clearly positioning themselves to be an alternative source. So, Sherry, thank you for that.
Thanks, Sherry.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye.
Okay, if we could please play then, this is from Eric Bowling from Newsmax, and they are not pulling any punches, man. If we could please play the Eric Bowling soundbite.
That Fox has moved further and further away from the plot. Fox News is moving mainstream. CNN Lite, as one of our balanced viewers called it. That's a clear choice. We, however, remain steadfast and true to what Americans care about, and we will not waver. Welcome one.
Welcome all. We're happy you're here, and we look forward to showing you what the balance is all about. And it starts right now.
That was his open. Oh, yeah. And then you said in listening to it, the rest of it was...
Well, not just him, but all of them are just pounding Fox delightfully and saying, no, we're not, you know, we're not going to be hide the truth from you. We're not going to be CNN light. And I just ended up after, you know, I wanted to watch a little bit of bowling and so forth. And I stopped watching at 9 o'clock when I'd listened to 3 hours and it was all great. I would have listened to more.
Right. And I think that's, again, one of the shifts because Newsmax, yes, it's a cable show, but it's somewhat alternate as mm-hmm. well. And who knows who, I don't know who controls Newsmax or who will.
Reddy. Got name Reddy.
Okay. Well, hopefully he won't. Well, he may cave in. But even if he does, again, you look at the power of that Twitter.
No, Newsmax sees a chance. I mean, right. Before they were just 75th of all cable shows. I mean, you know, they were so far down, they were just bumping right. along. And now they see an opportunity to make millions, if not billions.
I'm sure they're offering him a ton. But
Without
Carlson, I think a lot of Fox people, just like so much, you've just been betrayed, right? All of a sudden, you have one guy telling the truth. And people get that. Tucker Carlson, like Sherry said, and like Charlene and Barney and all you guys, Tucker Carlson was telling the truth. And even more than that, he was just asking questions, right?
Right.
He had no problem saying, I don't know. I'm just showing you, they said that the Capitol Police officer died in the line of duty.
Right,
and yet
right.
here he is, after this alleged hit on the head, walking around calmly, right? And to this day, the corporate media people are saying, people died. I mean, police officers died. They know it's a lie. And Tucker was sort of asking questions and in his own way was doing it somewhat calmly, humorously.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where he's going to end up. I think that Fox cannot keep him off the air forever. And I don't know. I'm not even sure. I think in a big way, they just wanted to be not their headache.
Well, they would love him to go the same way Megyn Kelly went, right. the same way that Bill O'Reilly went, where they have, you know, they have some influence, but far diminished, not being on the platform. I don't think that's going to happen here. I think he's going to be, the one's going to be diminished is Fox. And I think permanently diminished. I don't think it'll kill it, but it'll diminish
it. And I think this has been good probably for Megyn Kelly too.
It's been good
for Megyn Kelly. I'm sure if you're Elon Musk, you're sitting around because, he got 100 million views, you know, and Twitter has now introduced a monetization feature, which I don't understand how to work, but it has a monetization feature on its thing too. Mm. So Tucker Carlson, I imagine, is sort of reviewing his options, but there are plenty of things he could be doing. And I guess that's the good news about all of this. Like you said, the media has been slowly but surely losing its power. And that's why they're so freaked out. And that's why they say, oh, we need to make it illegal for you to misgender a transgender person.
Yeah,
we need to make it illegal for, you know, Tucker Carlson to ask questions about January 6th. They're freaking out because the truth is prevailing and enough people are seeing it. And I think that, you know, cable news, I mean, it's been a dying sort of paradigm anyway for a while, right?
It's in a sense that it came out of its womb in 2000 2001, when it, you know, kind of started to steal from mainstream TV, and now the podcasts and everything else are stealing from it.
Right. Well, and here's what's going to happen too. Again, you probably had millions of people who never tuned into Newsmax, who are now hundreds of thousands, who are now tuning into Newsmax. You probably had millions of people who never looked at Twitter that much, now have looked at Twitter and seen Tucker Carlson. People who maybe never even paid attention to Tucker Carlson now are looking at Tucker Carlson.
It's so interesting, and it's kind of if they make any mention, they all do. On the mainstream, the left, and so forth, about Tucker Carlson, they have to show their disgust at Tucker Carlson. They always have to go, here's Tucker Carlson's rambling.
His rant. It was a conspiracy theory rant.
And I kind of went, you know, why do you do that? It kills your any credibility you have. And then I found out because commentary, which is a Jewish intellectual one, or at least it was when I was a kid, and I'm Jewish, but I grew up in New York, so I read it and all of that. A couple of their people published something to be kind of provocative, saying how he hit, you know, Tucker would tweak both the pieties of left and right. Their digital readers roared at them and said, "You traitors, you trainee haters, you whatever else you are." So the lead publisher said, I'm sorry, I did that. I never would have put him on had I known. I'm learning, it's growing. And here's a hit piece on Tucker by a couple of other people. I'm sorry. And at least a third and two-thirds of people, "Well, I don't know, I'll ever trust you again for putting something that gave me a trigger warning. I'm never again going to trust you. That, how do I know you'll put some article that doesn't totally reflect what I think and my biases?" And at least one third of the people, to their credit, go, "Well, you know, you jerk, you two-faced coward," and everything else. But that's why they do it, because they don't want to be devastated. People, "You were nice to Tucker Carlson."
There we go. And here's from Jim Jackson, is saying, "I got rid of cable TV 10 years ago. Roku, is that how you say it? And streaming suit me fine." Sandra says she did the same. Okay, Thomas, yeah, try Scott Powell again till we got his answering machine. And this from Charlene, Chris Ruddy's response to why he donated to the Clinton Foundation. But let's get back to the matter of the Clintons and their foundation. I've been involved with the foundation for over 7 years. During that time, I've always found it nonpartisan. I have never felt the whiff of politics from either its staff or any of its activities. Absolutely. And as I've said before, the Clinton Foundation is now looking at the Biden crime family and saying, "What were we thinking?
Yeah.
Why were we not participating to that degree?" So,
man, we're pikers compared to those wonderful Bidens. Well, and they got the whole family involved.
You know, and back to the cable thing, the only reason really we have cable is because of the live sports.
Right.
I know my daughter doesn't have cable. Rev, a 12-year-old, The only thing he watches on TV is sports with you.
But doesn't really watch it. He's really kind of doing his video games. Every once in a while, I'll look up and
a
little bit of hockey. You'll just look up for a minute.
But
he never sits down where that's his one and only center of attention. He's already multitasking.
Well, and again, and you look at, so you've got all these Viacom kids, they're not kids now, who have children, and so they aren't watching TV, right? So the kids aren't going to watch TV. I mean, they watch stuff on YouTube. And you know what Brian Junta the other day was saying, he watched Tucker Carlson on YouTube, right? He's like, why should he say it? He didn't reach him at the back. Okay, hey, go ahead and keep trying, maybe, with Scott Powell. We should have him on. He's pretty good. He had a great thing. He said, "It's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's time for action. The government betrayal of the Constitution." I mean, and that's been going on for a long time, really.
Yeah. ever since it was adopted in 1789, they've been.
Well, while we do that, there are a couple other things that I wanted to talk about, too, as I flip through my notes here. This was kind of funny. Remember when the whole Russiagate thing started falling apart, right? And one of the things we found was that one of the reasons they got rid of Mike Rogers, remember Mike Rogers, he was going to come in and take over the NSA, right? And he found out that like bazillions of unauthorized people were accessing the NSA database. The NSA database that basically has
gives
everything.
You all the intelligence there is. I mean, every rumor, it's kind of like the FBI files under Hoover.
It tracks your cell phones, it tracks your texts,
it tracks any you know, chatter about you. Whatever it is, it's everything.
None of
it's verified because it's just raw intelligence, if you want to call it that.
That's right. But they found out, we do have Scott, so I'll get him to 1 second, that the DOJ says in 2021, there are 3.4 million warrantless searches in the NSA database. 30% of them, a million of them, were illegal.
And this is after they exposed it, they had intelligence. One of the judges on the FISA court said, "You know, this is awful. Oh, we fixed it. You know, we expanded it to everybody. For $10, you can get your own NSA."
Yeah, really. Hey, we have Scott Powell with us now, author of Rediscovering America. Hey, Scott, thank you for your time on this Friday afternoon.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you.
So we were saying you had a great column up. We've been talking about Tucker Carlson, but I think this all ties in together where, your new column is up talking about how the government's betraying us, trying to get rid of the Constitution. And it's, you know, time to not just talk about it, but to act. So tell us about your column.
Well, I guess we could start with just understanding the nature of war, people usually don't think of war as anything other than a kinetic or a shooting war. But in fact, we're in a very real war and have been for some time. And it's one that has many fronts. We have assaults on our spiritual, cultural, and informational fronts all the time. I mean, when we look at how our country has changed in the last 30 years, how our culture has changed, how our spiritual orientation as a nation, we've really, kind of turned our back on God increasingly. And then the informational war that goes on, we find that we can no longer trust our media. And so if we can't get good information, how do we make good decisions? But I'd point out that these assaults are important because they shape what happens downstream in politics and economics. A lot of people think, okay, warfare, yeah, that's the real thing. And politics is sort of the front line of things. And economics, of course, is how, we allocate resources. But all of these things are influenced by how people's minds get shaped. For instance, the Green New Deal, which is really an uneconomic pursuit of energy, in all honesty. Both, right. The two major sources of so-called sustainable energy are wind and solar. And neither of these sources of energy are reliable, nor are they economic when compared to the traditional sources of oil and gas, of right. which I might add, America is the most blessed country in the entire world. So here we are saying, we're not going to take yeah. advantage of the cheaper and more reliable oil and gas that we have in our country. And we're going to force everyone into a new energy grid, the Green New right. Deal. It makes no right. economic sense. But this right. wouldn't happen if the culture had not been shaped to prepare us for this, right?
Right. That's
so
a good point.
Culture is so important, and information. We don't get good information, and so we can't make good decisions. So, and the enemies of our country really are found both inside the country and outside the United States. Yeah. And they really advance their agenda by deceiving, demoralizing, and dividing the American people. I mean, we are so divided now. This is a shame. America is we're in a remarkable country of diversity, and we all used to get along a lot better than we do now. So how has that happened? Has it just sort of sprung up with no cause? No, there are driving forces that are bringing about division in our country. And these forces want to take our country down. Their yeah. goal is to basically nullify the Constitution. And of course, if that happened, it would bring on a swift end to the United States as we've known it all of our lives, and our parents and grandparents and great parents. And so when we connect these dots, we can see that the manipulation of public opinion and the creation of narratives is directed at undermining traditional institutions such as law enforcement, the family, the church, schools, and other carriers. I call these, carriers of civility, tradition, and continuity. These are all being destroyed right in front of our eyes.
Do we expect
our country to, muddle through all this? No, we're in a battle, and we've got to push back, and we've ultimately got to prevail. We've got to win this battle.
And how do you, one of the things, we'll talk about this Monday, but just a quick example of what you're talking about. In the Colorado legislature today, this is unbelievable. The Democrats were proposing essentially to decriminalize indecent exposure to children, right? They wanted to decriminalize. They debated. I think the bill went down, but the fact that, I'm sure it all has to do with drag shows and things like that, but, and pedophilia is what it is. Why on earth would anyone in the right mind say, no, it's okay for an adult man to sexually expose himself to a toddler, right? But they argued
for a toddler, 10-year-old.
For 3 hours, they argued to say, hey, that should be okay. I mean, and the fact that we even got there, it's unbelievable to me. And it shows how hard we have to fight back. And I think, just real quick with the Chuck, I think that's one of the reasons Tucker Carlson's gone from Fox, right? We can't have people telling the truth to other people.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, how can we not if we're Christian or Jewish, how can we not see that our country is, its moral decline is so severe that we really are seeing evil up close. We're almost, entering the realm of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah,
and we
almost.
All know how that worked out for the people. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. So, we want something better for our children and our grandchildren. And so that's why we've got to do all that we can to sort of hold the ground, push back, and remind people that life can be so much better than what we're living through right now.
Well, about individual humans, they often say, you're your own worst enemy. And we all are our own worst enemy, other than Julie.
Other people are my
She's
worst
my
enemy.
Worst enemy. But, and all a country is a conglomeration of people. And therefore, it soon becomes its own worst enemy. There's no question adopting energy that'll destroy you, adopting... opening your borders, none of it. No one would think that's a rational one. But as Arnold Toynbee said, civilizations commit suicide. And you're watching suicide right now. I mean, that's what the whole Democratic Party is.
You said it very well, Chuck. That's the point I was kind of making. You summed it up. We're witnessing a national suicide right in front of our very eyes.
Right.
And we have to ask ourselves, why? How can this happen? Well, it can happen if you put everybody to sleep. In other words, you disconnect them from their heritage. You disconnect them from any memory of how it used to be, what normal was. And then you subliminally, over time, introduce, destructive forces like critical race theory. I believe that really the cultural assault of transgenderism and pedophilia are really a concerted effort to sort of, contribute to this decline from which there's no recovery.
No.
And of course, they want to destroy our foundation so that they then can introduce the new
I compare it to I was a TV reporter for years and did a lot of particularly several years ago, that's when gangs were becoming a thing, and I did a ton of gang stories, and it kind of reminds me of that a little bit, what they're trying to do to the country. We would ask kids, why do you belong to a gang? I mean, there are plenty of downfalls to belonging to a gang, right? And the gang, mm-hmm. that's because they didn't have much else, and the gang became the family. The gang was where they belonged. The gang was the family. The gang told them what to do. The gang, through drug deals, provided them money. The gang protected them when a rival gang tried to shoot them. And then they couldn't leave the gang even if they wanted to, right? Because they were so caught up in it. And it seems to me that that's what they're doing. They're destroying the foundation with the family, and they're supplanting it with other stuff. And then, they're going to give you government handouts, and, you're a victim. So now we'll protect you and we'll take care of you. And it's, it didn't work out very well for gangs. It never does for people in gangs. And this isn't going to work out for people there either, because I think as soon as the government has everybody, or that they have everybody under their thumb, they're not going to be getting all the government subsidies anymore. They're going to be eating bugs, and living in high density apartments without any green grass around.
I don't disagree with you, Julie. I think that we have, we have people that now occupy high places of authority in government, also in the corporate sector, and certainly in the educational sector. Yeah. And these are corrupt people now that do not care about the people. The people are sort of, there's no compassion or emotional connection to people. So the consequences of these policies that might bring greater harm to the people. They don't really care if they can advance their agenda, which is more power, more control.
Right.
And in fact, many of them, it's all about, accumulating yet more wealth. Obviously if you really take society, if you downsize society, I mean, there is an agenda to depopulate.
There, yeah.
When you do a study of, you know, the property that was destroyed through the Black Lives Matter, uprising in 2020 after the George Floyd murder, you'll find that already there are people benefiting from all of that because the properties that were destroyed were then purchased at very low prices, and now a rebuilding process is going on. And you'd hate to think that, you know, that there was a connection between the rioters and the people who benefit from the riot, right?
Well, corporate America doled out close to $100 million or more in that to Black Lives Matter groups. I mean, they were inundated.
And they're getting it back, yeah.
Yeah, and they were the rioters. I mean, they had tens of millions are buying up property, you know, not necessarily Milwaukee, but in Beverly Hills.
Well, and you look at the corporations like BlackRock, which is invested in like everything, right? And are almost everything. You can't escape it. So it makes it pretty easy for them to push their agenda. And if you're a corporation, you know, you go along with it. And then pretty soon, all of a sudden, you've got like the Budweiser or the Bud Light debacle on your hands. But for what they don't apologize, they try to launch a whole new thing. But I think, though, I do take hope in, I mean, you've talked a lot about just the marvelous heritage that is America. And I think there are, and, you know, and people do want to hear the truth. I think too many people are not paying attention, but I think more people are waking up. And I think it's going to be harder for them to destroy the Constitution than they think. I don't know. What do you think?
I agree with you, Julie. I couldn't agree with you more. That's why I am an optimist. And even though a lot of research and writing is discouraging, the whole purpose of showing people the truth about what's going on is to wake them up. It's sort of like I feel my role is like a Paul Revere, that you know, that the enemy is coming, wake up. It doesn't have to be a bad outcome if we wake up sooner than later and we push back. We have this amazing Constitution still that protects us. We just have to make sure that we assert our constitutional rights.
Yeah.
We don't accept this unconstitutional governance that is, you know, that has emerged, that's taking away those rights. We have to reclaim them now.
I think that's
happening. It can't happen fast enough, but it is happening more so than it was, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes. And I think, you know, I think they, and we all know who they is, I think really they are. I think they think that if they can just defeat Donald Trump, then they got it in the bag. But I think that's going to be very bad if that happens, but I don't necessarily think so. I think that there are, and again, because they're going after children, and I think there are enough parents, do you know what I mean, that see through this. And once you start looking and saying, why are they having a drag queen show in my school? Then you're like, well, what are they teaching my kids? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, why are they doing that? And all of a sudden your eyes are open and you start, once you see some of the puppet strings, it's pretty hard to suddenly to unsee them, I think.
Well, that's why.
That's right.
That's why the Tucker Carlson thing is so important, because they need to make the illusion you have a choice. They have to give you an illusion that you're having a debate. When you're not debating, as he said, the big things, the war and peace, the border, the economics, everything else. And the left knows that. And so, boy, when somebody in the commentary wrote a nice article, or a semi-nice article about Tucker, they went ballistic. They said, no, we cannot allow any discussion when we're talking about white nationalists. And of course, everybody's a white nationalist.
Yeah. So if you're not white.
Even if you're not, or even worse, you know, I mean, and so... That's why they're so desperate to put everybody into an information silo. And that's why I think the Murdochs are going to find out people don't want to be put in an information silo. And if they can get to Tucker, they're going to prefer that than the lies, or at least the milquetoastness of the Murdochs.
Well, I think what we have also become more aware of than ever before, and Tucker has really illustrated it well, and he's, the things he said since he did leave Fox, he was, you know, I guess he was fired. Maybe he knew it was coming. Maybe it was a I frankly think the best is yet to come for Tucker Carlson.
I'd agree.
I think it's going to be Tucker Unleashed from here on,
yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
And
I
that is
so
a blessing, because this guy is very gifted. First of all, he's not an ideologue. He's extraordinarily likable. He can laugh at himself. He really can. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He's a humble guy. He can admit when he was, you know, in error. Remember in his speech, I think it was at Heritage or thereafter, he fully acknowledged that, gee, when I got into politics and calling political outcomes in the 2022 election, the November election, five, 6 months ago, he was dead wrong. And he admitted it. You know, he admitted that, you know, he's not he's that kind of a guy. And he's very healthy, actually, mentally and emotionally and
seems
relationally.
Like
he's sort of an exemplary person. And he's gifted with this pursuit of truth.
Yes. So
he just wants to get at how things work. You know, what is the truth of whatever issue he takes up?
Right. And that's it's such
and
a
this
good
is so important. I would say to every woke person listening that without competition of ideas, different ideas competing against each other, and that's what debate is. That's what, you know, that's what the news should do. That's what your academic career should do. That's what you should do in your relationships. You don't fight with each other. You just recognize you have differing ideas that are competing to get to the truth. And so the truth really only emerges through a competition of ideas. So everyone should be alarmed that since we've shut down this, that we really have a uniparty and a media that doesn't have competition, you know, views are, you know, there's a uniform perspective, a sort of collectivist mindset.
Certain
subjects, are, you know, you cannot talk about them. This is the kiss of death for civilization. It really is.
Right.
Hey, and Scott, we're gonna have to let you go.
I'm not sure how many woke people we have in our audience, but if we do,
no, I don't think that many woke people. But I'm hoping that we can reach
a
few of those folks, because you know, it can be much better, and you know, your life can be so much bigger. You know, when you get out of the echo chamber, get out of your groupthink, and really live life to its fullest.
Well said.
Discover new things.
All right, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you.
Rediscovering America, great book. Scott, thank you for your time. Have a great rest of your Friday.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be with you folks.
Oh, always. Likewise. Likewise. We want to thank Scott Powell, the great guys at BBS, as always. Everybody on Zoom. Like I said, coming up on Monday, we're trying to get some Republican lawmakers to talk to us about this push to make it okay to, you know, expose yourself to children, and what's all that about. And that's just today. Who knows?
Yeah, that was just one good day.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much. Remember, all the shows you can catch on whatever format you want to listen to at chuckandjulie.com.
And we appreciate our BBS people and all the people that listen. You don't have to tweet or call in or anything else, but we appreciate you listening and being part of our team.
All right. See you guys later. Have a happy Party Friday.